Tonight, Survivor David versus Goliath cast preview is sponsored by DC Universe. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is created just for DC Comics fans like you. The only place where you could watch original DC series, plus tons of DC Comics movies and TV series, and over 2,500 modern and classic DC Comics available to view in the comic reader or on your big screen TV. Plus, all sorts of DC comic exclusives available for you on your favorite web-enabled devices for iOS, Android, Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Android TV, Google, Chromecast, and more. It's more than a streaming service. This is your universe. Only $7.99 a month. Better yet, grab an annual membership and save 20%. Join the ultimate DC membership today at DCUniverse.com. Coming to you live from Not My Apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's everybody's favorite podcast man from Slamtown, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Survivor David versus Goliath preview. Didn't have that many things to say about here's the guy who is whatever from David versus Goliath, but I am here with the first lady of podcasting. Please welcome back to the podcast the great Goliath of my life, Nicole Cesternino. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good, but I'm pretty sure in Slamtown they don't allow podcasters.
There's no podcasters.
You would be slammed.
I would be slammed. I would be just slammed right out of Slamtown.
Yes.
And here we are, Nicole. We are but days away from Survivor David versus Goliath. We, of course, do this podcast. You and I have been together. I believe this is the 17th time that you and I are getting together to preview.
Get it on.
Well, yes. I should be so lucky to get to 17 times. I look forward to that day. But Nicole, we are here to preview the cast of Survivor 37, which is but only days away. Wednesday night will be the premiere. 90 minutes, Survivor David versus Goliath. Of course, this was not how we drew the plan up here for the Survivor 37 preseason. And as many of the listeners know, either from following the Big Brother coverage or from social media, that life got in the way here in these last couple of weeks, that Nicole and I had gotten some really terrible news last week, and very unexpectedly, Nicole's mom passed away last week, and we have been in New York and with Nicole's family. And so for Nicole to make the time to even do this podcast with me is such a amazing testament to her commitment. And I just really want to say, Nicole, thank you for taking the time to talk about this nonsense with us after everything that you've been through here in these last 10 days or so.
Oh, my mom would want the nonsense to go on.
Yeah. She got a kick out of it. We spent a lot of time with her over the summer. She visited us for about 2 months over the course of the summer. Obviously, we had no idea that any of this was coming. And she just come back home a couple of weeks ago. And we got this very unexpected news last week. And so this has really been a completely, shocking event. And we're just doing our best to pick up the pieces here with Nicole's family over these last, week and a half or so.
Yes. And we are actually recording in my childhood bedroom.
Yes. Yes. Back down here doing work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, Nicole, I have. Do you want to talk about what I've been up to down here over these last few days?
Well, he's completely destroyed my room and made it his own.
Yeah, I sort of took over, built a makeshift podcast studio. We're going to be here for a bit, so trying to make the best of it. But
luckily, there's pictures of him all over the walls.
Yes, because luckily, Nicole decorated this room when she really liked me.
I didn't decorate it when I liked you. I mean, I moved in here before I liked you, and okay. I just added
and
to
you
it.
You added to it. Anyway, so, Nicole, very excited for you to talk Survivor with you that we have not really gotten to. I think that some people might imagine that because they hear us on the podcast talking about Survivor or these shows, that a lot of our conversation off the podcast revolves around the shows, but it's actually quite the opposite.
It couldn't be further from the truth. Yeah.
But Nicole, before we get too far into this, I'm sure a lot of people, I know a lot of the listeners have been concerned about how you're doing. Is there anything you want to say?
First, I want to say thank you to everybody who has reached out, sent an email, a message, a Facebook comment, a like. Every single one of them has helped me get through this horrific time. This is been one of the most difficult things I've ever had to go through, but having your support really did help. It did.
Mm-hmm.
And all the love. So I want to say thank you, and it's going to be a long journey, but I know I got a lot of love behind me, and I got a lot of love looking down on me now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was no bigger Goliath than your mom.
No.
She would not be a David.
All the stories that we told about my mother, like we were not exaggerating.
Yeah. And so, you know, the legend of Helen will live on for eternity. And so
one of her famous phrases to call people was a brick shithouse.
Okay. Yeah. Which she may have called her grandson a few times, not Dominic.
Definitely did.
Yeah. So we're going to go through 20 people here tonight over the course of this podcast. The David tribe first, and then the Goliath tribe. Normally, under better circumstances, we probably would have broken this up into two podcasts. But when we have something to say about somebody, we'll say it. And if we don't really have a lot to say about a certain person, if there's not a lot that we got, then we will just probably yada yada.
You know, they really made it really hard for us this season. Like, there's no videos to look at. There's nothing to critique. No bathing suits to say I like or don't like.
Yeah,
making my job hard.
I mean, it's been a abbreviated under normal circumstances.
Do you think they did it because of this?
Because of what?
Because of our cast assessment?
I don't think so.
It was because of Corinne.
I don't think it was part of it. Corinne, we are not going to be able to get together with Corinne. We learned via
the same way you did.
Yes, the same way you did. We heard on a podcast that Corinne said that there was not enough time for her to do the cast assessment. And so,
and that's fine because it didn't work out with us right now.
And the timing was turned out to not be great on our end.
Yeah.
But we look forward to getting back together in the future with Corinne to talk about the brutal cast assessment. Luckily, these David versus Goliath people got off easy.
Yeah.
Caught a break.
You think they're crying?
I doubt anybody.
There's nothing that she would have to work off anyway.
Yeah, the thing is, they think they want it until they get it.
And then they cry.
Like, oh, boy, that was really over the line.
That really was brutal.
That was like a personal attack. I didn't really like that.
It kind of was.
Okay, so we're going to go through everything. A couple of quick notes that for those of you who have not been listening to any of our coverage, I mean, what's your problem, really? No, but because there's some people that they just, the Josh Wigglers of the world are not following the Big Brother. The Survivor fans, welcome back. We are going to be getting into everything. Survivor know-it-alls this week. I have a programming note. I will be back together with Stephen Fishback. I'm sorry to all the Big Brother haters that are out there. There is one more week that you have to put up with Big Brother because we have the Survivor premiere and the Big Brother finale all in one night this Wednesday night. So Be on the lookout for that. The 26th, that there's going to be the 90-minute premiere of Survivor, David versus Goliath, followed by the 90-minute finale of Big Brother 20. And because of that, I am going to be doing our live Big Brother coverage immediately following the Big Brother finale, which I have to watch following Survivor. So Stephen Fishback and I are going to be getting together for the Survivor Know-It-Alls come Thursday morning. I believe that we are looking at, let me just look at my last text from Steven. I can tell you the time. I believe 10 a.m. Eastern time coming up on Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. Live Survivor Know-It-Alls. Steven and I will be back together again for another season of Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up on Thursday morning with exit interview to follow for Survivor.
Yes.
Okay.
And I will be at Know-It-Alls.
And then the following week, yeah, week two of the Survivor season, Steven and I will be together in person for our live Survivor Know-It-Alls event. We are looking forward to a capacity crowd in New York City on the second episode of the season, October 3rd. So we are very excited about that. And if you could not make it to our New York show, Run It Up Reno is coming up later on in October. If you can join us on October 24th at the Peppermill Resort in Reno, Nevada, as part of Jason Somerville's biannual Run It Up Reno event, I will be there with Tyson Apostle, Boston Rob Mariano, and I just learned today, Adam Klein will be back with us again.
So, ooh, la, la.
You know, all us winners hang out and podcast award winners. Mm, yes.
Our bank account doesn't reflect
well,
that million.
No, but we are going to be together in Reno, Nevada. We'll be watching the show live, and then there will be a karaoke party to follow. Best of all, that all of that is free if you join us at Run It Up Reno. No ticket cost there.
That's amazing.
So yeah, just get your ass out to Reno, Nevada. we'll do the show, and then we'll broadcast that live as well. I'm planning on broadcasting the show live from next week's live show here in New York. Okay, so Nicole, we have a sponsor for this episode of the podcast that I need to talk about before we get into talking about the David Tribe, and I'm very excited about this sponsor. This is really cool. Today's podcast is sponsored by DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, Nicole. This is really cool. If you are a comics fan, you are going to love this. That we're going to talk about this today, the DC Universe. Before we talk about the David Tribe, that there is the smallest hero in the DC Universe. His name is Atom, A-T-O-M.
Oh.
Yes. And you could check out everything on the DC Universe, which features all of the DC TV shows, DC movies, and DC Comics, plus there's original DC series like the new live-action Titans premiering on 2018, Young Justice, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, Stargirl, Harley Quinn coming in 2019 with new episodes available weekly, thoughtfully curated, regularly refreshed library of digital comics with 2,500 modern and classic titles. Everything that you would ever want to see about DC Comics is all in one place, and it works on any web-enabled device, iOS, Android, Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Android TV, Google, Chromecast, and more. This is the greatest thing if you are a comic fan or want to learn more about the DC Universe. And best of all, it's only $7.99 a month. Better yet, you can grab an annual membership and save 20%. So join the ultimate DC membership today at DCUniverse.com. Okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right, Nicole. So let's get into talking about what's going on the David Tribe, Nicole. So we have, of course, everything going on from CBS.com, from their profiles, and so many hours of First One Out, close to 7 hours of cast preview done on First One Out. I know that Nicole and I are behind the eight ball in terms of getting to you guys with a cast preview, but Josh Wigler and Taryn Armstrong very hard at work with getting all this stuff out. Josh went out on location to Fiji, did a fantastic job for the third season in a row with First One Out, and there is just incredible material there that is you really get a great snapshot about who these people are, much better than these videos that are like 90 seconds that they post on the website. You hear a real in-depth conversation, what Jeff thinks about each person. This is my impression of Jeff Probst in First One Out talking about any person. So first, let me be Josh Wigler, and we'll hear next from Nicole after we hear from Jeff. And here's Jeff Probst. And Jeff Probst says, I really like Nicole.
He did.
He says it about every single person. Yes. I really like this person.
Yes.
There's not really one person that Jeff's like, you know what? I'm out on Nicole.
Yeah.
She stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to.
He really likes every person in this cast.
Yeah. You got to take it with a grain of salt here, right?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess he has some say in this. I guess they don't take anybody that he doesn't like.
I bet that, you know, there's somebody that he doesn't like.
All right.
Jeff, be honest with us. Well, come on.
Yeah, maybe there was a couple people he didn't like. Okay. Yeah. So, Nicole, let's talk about the David tribe. First of all, I don't think we've talked about this. What do you think about David versus Goliath theme?
I don't like it.
You don't like
it? We did talk about this. I was on one of the patron shows.
The patron five for five.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Why don't you like David versus Goliath?
I think it's a stupid name.
Why? Why are you so anti David versus Goliath?
It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
I mean, it's better than a lot of the other ones.
And you know, no one liked those either.
Okay, so I mean, this is a step in the right direction.
No, I think it's going backwards.
We're going backwards. Yeah. Okay. Nicole, anything you want to say about the body language of this group from the David cast photo?
They all seem to be very individual, where they all have their arms crossed in front of them they're holding their own hands.
Okay, holding their own hands.
Yes.
That's a bad thing?
Well, it doesn't seem like they're open.
Okay, so yeah. They should be more. What would you like to see? Everybody with their arms around one another, like, we're David's.
Yeah, we come from a terrible life.
They're underdogs, yeah. Nicole. I don't think they say they're from terrible lives. I think underdog is the terminology. Okay. Bina Nguyen. We'll go in the order that Josh Wigler has them here on thehollywoodreporter.com. This is also the order that they are introduced if you want to follow along on First One Out. Part one was dropped the day the cast came out. Then the second episode of First One Out came out the following week, which was all about the David tribe. And then this most recent episode, which was only posted Wednesday, was all about the Goliath tribe.
And I actually listened
to
most of it.
Okay, well, good for you.
Yeah.
And each of those episodes, the two cast previews, is over 3 hours long. So a lot of homework to get through if you want to try to get this all in before we get to the Survivor premiere. Okay. B. Nguyen, MMA fighter, Nicole, from Texas. Any thoughts about B?
Well, I have lots of thoughts about B. She just binge-watched, five episodes. Five seasons.
She's a new fan. She has a breakdown of Ben's game in Survivor 35. I was like, huh? And I never really heard it described that way.
I mean, she seemed to have a pretty good grasp of the game, being that she just watched it.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying how, you know, you can't be this way, you can't be this way.
Nguyen.
Yeah. The only way to Nguyen.
Yeah. And so she's a fighter. She was doing some sort of a kickboxing class, and she broke the bag open, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And then she knew from there.
She had to pay the bill.
No. She knew that she was going to be an MMA fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So there she is.
I feel like in a past life, like, I was a professional boxer.
That could still be in a future life.
It could be.
Okay.
I could only hope.
Now, one Sarah Lacina, who did not have a great weekend in the Survivor Fantasy Football League this past week. She has a MMA background.
Does she?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I guess I should keep my trash talking about the Survivor Fantasy Football League to a minimum.
You're
going
to get
a
kick to the face.
Yes. And so Bina Nguyen shares that. She loves Survivor 35.
Because that's all she saw.
that's all she saw. And she likes to kickbox.
Yeah.
She has a sister named Twee.
Yes. But wait.
Bee and Twee.
They keep it simple.
Yes.
Yeah. Although in listening to First One Out, I feel like she's going to have a hard time keeping her anger under control.
Yeah, you think that she has a hot temper?
Well, I think that people also have her completely pegged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what they see her as somebody...
as this fiery person that's going to fight. I mean, they said that, like, that she will fight.
Yeah, but even though she can fight, I don't know if she necessarily has a hot temper. But maybe it's the kind of thing where maybe if she doesn't get to fight for a long time, then maybe if...
It's like if you don't get that release that you
need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear that. Nicole, are you saying that maybe if you did some sort of MMA fighting, that then when you were not in the ring, you might be more easygoing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, Nicole.
Like some people do yoga to zen out.
Yeah.
Some people beat the crap out of things.
Nicole, you feel like, is the arrow pointing up or down for Bee Nguyen?
I have mixed feelings. I feel like at first it was pointing up, but then when I was listening to everybody like assess her as this like fiery person that just doesn't give up, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how well she knows the game. I mean, she told the story of Survivor 35. And
it was what you watched.
It was not the show that I saw. I don't know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Ben did a great job and everything, but she talked about it, that. She's like, Ben, every one of his plans came together and he was at everybody. He manipulated everybody. I was like, what?
She drank the Ben Kool-Aid.
She did, or she might have been multitasking when the show was on. But that being said, I don't have a strong opinion about Bee Nguyen.
I'm with you. I'm pretty neutral.
Yeah. So she seems fine, but she will not be my winner pick.
And you know what? A lot of us little girls tend to have like something to prove.
Yes. You think she could have something to prove?
I think that we can tend to be like. We need to be seen.
Mm-hmm. So you think she needs to be seen?
Possibly.
Nicole, a big storyline in First One Out and also in Survivor 37 is going to be the weather. Terrible weather conditions that I really think that that could play a big factor, more so than the social politics would in a regular season. I think that there are going to be people that might even be asking early on, just, you know, punch my card, let it be me.
What did I sign up for?
Right. I don't think it could be Bee Nguyen, but I do think that there could be people that are not the most physical people that I think could just get weeded out early by the elements.
Mm-hmm. But as a fan, not a fan of the show, I mean.
Yeah, but she's tough.
In the ring.
Yeah. I think she'll be tough in the rain. I think that she's not going to be somebody who... The rain's not going to crack her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would crack me.
Okay. You might be extra salty. You never have played a baseball game in the rain?
Oh, you play to the end.
Okay. All right. So that maybe that's how people feel about Smart. All right. Let's talk about Carl. Carl Boudreau.
Carl F-bomb Carl.
Okay. Here is Carl. He's the 41-year-old truck driver, and he comes across well on the First One Out.
Yes, I like that he just dropped F-bombs like it was nothing.
Yeah, and he's a blue-collar guy. He is somebody who drives trucks for a living. He's got his own truck, and he's ready to go. He's watched the show, not a super-duper fan.
He's someone that you'd want to drink a beer with.
Yeah. He's somebody who I think is going to probably be around. I mean, he's kind of got, Keith Nail type longevity in the game. I don't think he's going to be somebody who ends up being weeded out early. I think that he's physical enough that he's not going to ruffle feathers. I think that
he's going to get along with people.
Right. I think there's a lot to like about Carl.
Yeah.
His claim to fame, he says, is he's had a successful marriage for 12 years. That's not that impressive, Carl.
Oh, please. It is impressive.
12 years?
It's impressive we made it to 8.
I guess so.
And how many kids does he have?
That I don't know.
And he's a truck driver. He's away a long time. That is the key to your successful marriage.
Mm-hmm. He likes to fish. He likes to ride horses and shoot pool.
Okay, seems like a pretty cool dude.
Yeah. He talked about how he made it through the hurricane in Houston last year. So this weather is not going to bother Carl.
Yeah.
So you like Nicole?
I like Carl.
Yes. The arrow is pointing up or down for you?
Pointing up for me.
Okay, pointing up. Jury?
I think so.
Jury, yeah. I think he's around.
You
like his earrings? Got two earrings.
Stylish.
Yes. That's good?
Yeah, I don't really care too much about earrings either way.
Yeah. Do more people have...
I think actually you should get an earring.
I should get an earring? I was thinking about that the other
like
day.
Like the one that like goes, like, that spreads your lobe.
That's not an earring.
It kind of is. What is it called?
I forget. The spacer? I think that might be what it's called.
You should get a spacer.
Yes. I think that's exactly what I... Are more people getting two earrings, or is that less people?
You know what?
Now?
I don't really notice that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. I feel like I see it less, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe Carl's...
Does my brother have it in both ears?
He used to. I saw a picture of him. Obviously, a lot of pictures around recently. And I saw that he had double both ears pierced in the picture, but not now.
Do you know how many piercings I have in my ear?
7,000.
I have like 9 in one ear.
9 in one
and
ear.
And I did them myself.
Yeah, because... Were you in prison?
I was. It was the Palmieri prison.
Just called this house. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole. Anything else to say about Carl?
No, he's just a cool dude.
Okay. Look, we're not spending a super long time on every single person. Again, when there's a lot to talk about, we'll talk about it here. But we got 20 people to talk about here in one podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, here comes Christian Hubicki. He is the robotics scientist, has some fun stuff in the old first one out, has a lot of thoughts about the game. Longtime super fan, Nicole. What do you have to say about Christian?
I feel like he is a Cochrane Fishback baby.
Cochrane Fishback baby. Well, he talks about Cochrane.
About both of them.
Talks about Fishback. Talks about me.
Does he?
Yeah.
Where?
On First One Out.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yes.
Oh, wait. He he listens to the podcast, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I do remember.
So all of, my nerdy bros that he's...
How dare you?
He's down with. What do you mean? How dare I? That I called Cochrane a nerd?
Oh, I thought you were calling this guy.
No, he's down with all of my nerdy bros.
He's down with...
all of my nerdy bros.
Okay.
That's fine.
I was trying to think of something clever to say with that, but that's just nerdy, and there's nothing that you can make funny about it.
Okay, so Christian here, he plays the clarinet. He his pet peeves are condescension, cliches, and reckless abuse of percentages.
He has a point.
His robotics have been featured on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
His parents are his heroes. He wants binoculars so he can do birding.
Does that just mean like spy on the naked neighbors?
Like George McFly? Yeah. Okay, so Nicole, what are your thoughts on Christian?
Christian, I feel not so great about him.
Not so great.
I'm not sure why, but I feel like he's going to be out pretty quickly.
Out pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how this player fares on Survivor at this point in time. I feel like 4 years ago, the internet, the fans, they were waiting for this type of guy, the other players. But now I worry for Christian.
Yeah, I do. I do, too.
That I really feel like the game has gone back. And I don't know if I've been saying this for years and it hasn't happened yet. But I just think that people are intimidated by this person, where when Cochrane came along, he was underestimated, that nobody thought he could do anything. And now I feel like that things have, you know, swung so far in the other direction that once, you know, Christian tries anything, I feel like people are saying, oh, we
got to get... Too smart.
We got to get rid of him.
So you think he's feared more than the, like the bros?
I do think to a degree. Yeah. And I feel like that Bradley was the person that was in this spot last season.
Yeah.
And we worried about Bradley. And Bradley turned out to be, you know, a lot different where that he seemed like openly antagonistic, which I don't think that Christian is going to be. But ultimately...
You were wrong about Bradley. I was not.
All right, fine. But even though that's how he was depicted on the show, that really wasn't why, Dominic wanted to get rid of Bradley.
Right.
That Dominic felt like that, okay, well, Bradley is too smart and he knows the game, and I have to get rid of a person like that.
Right.
And so now, is there a Dominic Abate out there in Survivor 37? I don't know.
No, that's probably like 39.
But, Nicole... I worry for Chris, especially the way that he's, talking about the game. Now, if he can get together with Mike White and you know, geek out about the game, okay, great. But how many other people really will, you know, want to get into, you know, this these discussions about what's going on
not B.
out there? Not B. I don't know. She's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. But... So I worry about Christian.
Yes, I do too.
Is it too much? They start calling him Big Bang Theory. Can we get your dad to start watching Survivor if we tell him that there's a guy that people are calling Big Bang Theory?
We call our son Young Sheldon.
That has been thrown around. But so I worry for Christian. You know, he's one of these people that he's either, and Jeff says this a lot, he's either going to be out early or he's going to go far.
Yeah. You're either hot or you're not.
Yeah. And I think he's an all or nothing type person for me, Christian.
Sad story.
It is a sad story, but it could be a happy story.
It's not.
You think you're down on Christian?
I'm down, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it works out for
him. I hope it does, but I don't have that good feeling.
So, like, Cochran, you know, has this nerdy side, but he also has, like, you know, an incredible sense of humor
mm-hmm.
and could, you know, have you really rolling with his stories. Christian, you know, has a sense of humor, but is he, you know, are people drawn to him like they're drawn to Cochran?
Mm-hmm. Well, not if he talks about his birding.
Right. Right. And so he loves Stephen Fishback also.
Well, who doesn't?
He loves Stephen Fishback. So that probably line up 19 fishy awards for every week Christian is on the show.
Totally.
So we'll see. I feel like, you know, gun to my head, I feel like the arrow might be pointing down for Christian.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Sorry, Christian.
But we hope that the arrow points up.
But it won't.
He's a character, but I'm worried for him.
Yeah.
I'm worried for him. Okay.
All right. Let's move on.
All right. In a post-Cochran world, we'll see. All right. Let's talk about the fourth person on this tribe. And let's talk about Davey.
Don't call him David.
Yeah. Davey Rickenbacker. Don't call him Rickenback.
Yeah.
And here he is and has an interesting story that he was somebody who was not on this season. And for whatever reason, there was another guy. They got rid of him or that guy had to go home. They called in Davey Rickenbacker the night before the season was.
That's a crazy story.
And they said, hey, do you want to be on Survivor? And he's like, yeah. And
he was a fan?
He's a big fan,
uh-huh.
And he flew out. He likes cosplay. Hey, he should check out the DC Universe.
I bet he would like
Bet he might like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is a social media manager from South Carolina. Hope he rode out Hurricane Florence okay.
Yeah.
And he likes cosplaying and memes. A lot of nerds in this season.
Well, you like nerds.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Jatia. I don't have a t-shirt that says, I love nerds.
I bet I could, if I went through your drawers, I would find one.
Yeah. Well, if I love nerds, that means you're a nerd.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a nerd lover.
Oh, okay. You should get you that. Let me see if I can talk to Jatia about where she got that shirt.
Yes.
All right. So, Nicole, he has a bunch of different Instagrams. Yes.
Okay, wait a second. Have you gone on to his... I didn't know he had a bunch of different Instagrams.
Yes, I teased with Mike Bloom when we first went through everything. I was like, I don't know if this is that impressive, but I think I only found one of them.
Okay, the one that I found, he has like 200 Instagram followers.
No, I think that's probably what I found. We don't know what his other ones are.
And then he had like 2,000. Sorry, that was pretty decent.
We might have just found his burner Instagram account.
If you have one Instagram or one Twitter that works, why are you making another one, right?
Why
are you doing that?
We don't know.
And he has 200 Twitter followers.
He could be like one of these Twitter people that has like 19 different accounts so that they can have conversations with themselves.
Oh.
And troll people.
We're on to you, David.
Yeah. David, are you a Tangela fan by any chance? Davey. Sorry. Anyway, so Nicole.
I have a bigger online following.
You don't know how many different handles he has.
But why?
Well, he has one for his dog and one for The Walking Dead and one for this and one for that.
So you have multiple personalities.
I mean, I have multiple podcasts.
Okay, but you have one online presence, right? And it works.
I guess so.
Yeah, it works.
It's not what I've been reading on Reddit.
Mm-hmm. And he likes to slide into DMs.
Yes.
Like, why is that slick? Like, I'm sliding into her DMs. No, you send a creepy message is what you did.
Oh, well, that's character assassination. You don't know if his messages are creepy.
No, I'm not saying him in
they
general.
Could be charming.
Like, I'm sliding
into...
You're just sending a DM. You're not sliding into anything.
You are against the expression sliding into
DMs. No, because that
DMs.
Sounds ridiculous. It sounds like you're so slick, but you just sent a message.
Right. Okay. So maybe it's an outdated phrase.
It makes you sound cooler than you really are.
I'll send you a DM.
Please don't.
Yes. Right. So slide into the DMs implies that it was a wanted message, whereas you say that, and maybe I don't know if you're speaking from experience, most of the messages that come into DMs are unwanted.
Most of them, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the junk mail in your mailbox is not slid in.
Like, you're not slick because you slid into my DMs.
We're way off course.
I'm just
talking about...
That was a trigger.
Mr. David, and I don't want to know about your DMs. Yeah, so he says, the example of posting at peak hours to maximize the likes you receive guaranteed responses from females via direct messages. How to slide into them DMs.
How to be a creeper.
Not to mention providing grade A entertainment via video stories regularly. So,
not if you only have 200 followers.
So he got off easy with Corinne not doing the...
she would have been all over this one.
You gave him a little taste. He got off easy.
That would have been really fun to do with Corinne.
Yeah.
She's like, you have 200 followers!
Anyway, so he... I think that Davey is actually in a good spot here. The one thing I would worry about him, showing up late. Traditionally, that's a problem for survivors. More so in the returning player seasons. Candace Cody and John Cody famously were people that came in last minute in Survivor Blood versus Water, replacing RC and her dad.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely something that, you know, people feel like, oh, this is different. Oh, let's get rid of this person.
Yeah, but that was because they had
pre-gaming. Yeah. So, but I do think that Davey is set up well here on the tribe of underdogs.
Unless he talks about his social media presence, because no one wants to know
about
it.
Okay, I think we covered that. I think we got that. So, Nicole, do you like, other than the social media, do you like what you're seeing here from Davey?
I can't get past it.
Okay. I think that Davey is set up well here, and I think that he is somebody that we're going to be seeing around. Especially,
because, I mean, if those are the accounts that we saw, and if that was legit, he has no self-awareness.
Right, but there is no Twitter on the island.
No, but it speaks about your self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's excited to be there.
I get that.
He knows the game. So I say thumb is pointing up for Davey.
Okay.
He wants to be like Jeremy Collins.
Who doesn't?
A former winner pick. He says about Jeremy Collins, he was genuinely a good guy that knew when to speak and knew when to observe. That's my Obama.
All right.
Yeah.
I could be down with that.
And Jeremy Collins, when he ran for Mr. Survivor 2014.
Did he take his shirt off?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think so. I think that this was prior to Second Chances.
Okay.
Okay. But I believe he referred to himself as that he was going to be the Obama.
He did, yeah.
Okay. All right, Nicole. So let's keep going. And so I say thumbs up on Davey. You say you're out on Davey.
I'm out.
Okay.
Boy. Sorry, Davey.
Nicole, boy, don't get on Davey. Welcome to my world. Cross Nicole once on a minor thing and see if you can come back.
Never let it go.
Okay. Ask Bradley how this goes.
Me and Bradley are friends now.
All right. Here is Elizabeth Olsen. Elizabeth became infamous to the Survivor fans as she was the person who was seen giving the middle finger in the Survivor cast photo. You're looking at me like you don't know about this.
I don't.
Nicole, I know you've had a lot going on here, but I mean, this is a couple of weeks since this came out. Survivor middle finger cast photo. So let's see if we can bring this up here on the screen for Nicole. So, Nicole, if you take a look here at Elizabeth in this photo, can you give us a examination of her hand here and the finger that she is pointing up at the camera?
It's definitely the bird.
You don't need to have binoculars for that kind of bird watching.
Are we birding on that one? Is that what we call birding?
She's birding. She's birding. Hashtag birding. And so here is Elizabeth, Nicole. Again, a big character in First One Out. We got to hear a lot about her. Elizabeth Olsen. She wanted to play in a, I don't know if it was last season or the season before, but she was pregnant. She had a cesarean. 5 months later, here she is.
She's a five-month-old?
Yeah. Wanted to give birth in a cowboy hat. And she did.
You know, and as someone who has been in the operating room during a C-section, it's kind of gross.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody didn't think it was gross. All right. Nicole.
She didn't wear the cowboy hat. Didn't she wear, the raccoon hat?
Raccoon hat?
I read something about a raccoon hat.
I don't know.
Two people on this season are on this
maybe
tribe.
Maybe I heard the story wrong. I thought she wanted to wear a cowboy hat. Okay, so here she is. Had a strict upbringing. Her parents wouldn't let her watch any Survivor, and she ended
probably for the best.
Let me see. Just going back to her. So. Maybe you're right. I think that she says that she had a wool-lined raccoon hat. And
there's two people on this tribe that talk about their raccoon hat.
Okay. I apologize.
Yes, I was right.
You know, she's wearing a cowboy hat. I assume that this hat she's wearing was her birthing hat. No.
Obviously, the raccoon hat is the birthing hat.
Yeah.
What else would you want to birth in?
I guess so. You never talked about that.
I left mine home.
Nicole, so here she is. Her parents wouldn't let her watch any Survivor, but then they let her watch one with Stephanie LaGrossa, and then that ended up being her hero.
Yeah, I've heard that of someone else, too.
Yeah. But you seem exasperated with Stephanie LaGrossa.
It's just...
You don't want a filet mignon pizza from Gigi's?
I actually do, actually.
Mm-hmm. I think it closed down a long time ago.
Probably.
But, Nicole, so what? Elizabeth Olsen.
I'm thumbs up on her.
Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what is it you see in her?
I feel like she's got a lot of enthusiasm. She's got a lot to bring to the tribe. She's going to be a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'll be good in the challenges.
Yeah, she's definitely outdoorsy. The elements won't be a problem for her, making a fire won't be a problem with her. She's one of these people where it's either going to go one of two ways, where that she's either going to be, you know, too out there, too weird, not getting along with this group.
I think she has she had a lot of pet peeves, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, people really annoy her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, which I can relate to.
Yes. Well, you do have a lot of pet peeves. So her pet peeves were...
Can I open it up on the screen?
Okay. So her pet peeves, let me go ahead and bring this up on the monitor.
I have a terrible memory. I need to have it in front of me.
Nicole can see it. And so, but her pet peeves include she hates lazy people and people that don't have a lick of common sense. I would call them stupid. Okay, that's not nice.
I'll keep it to yourself.
Mama always said, use your noodle. God gave it to you for a reason. She's got like Forrest Gumpism. So. Mm-hmm. And then boring and dull pisses me off, too.
Oh, she would not like boring chicken.
What? Listen, the chicken's not boring.
Having it every day for 2 years is boring.
She's whiners. She can't stand whining.
I don't think she's going to do well.
Yeah, she doesn't like a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that she's going to...
Boring and dull does piss me off, too. Especially on these shows. If you're boring, I don't like it.
Well, she's not going to be boring or dull.
No, I don't think so. I think she'll be interesting.
I think she's going to fight with a lot of people. She's going to cause a lot of problems.
Right. You know, there are two types of people that play Survivor. I mean, there are the people that will, you know, adapt to their surroundings. And they're the type of people that are who they are, and they don't have the ability to adapt. And so that's what makes it interesting television. But she strikes me from sort of the, you know, great...
She is who she is.
Sue Hawk mold of that,
totally.
You know, she is who she is, and she doesn't really change her stripes based on who she's talking to.
Unless she changes her raccoon hat.
Yes, then the literal stripes, yes. I think she would. But she loves the show. She's excited to be out there. She's pumped up. She has an enthusiasm. The rain's not going to slow her down.
Yeah.
Just a matter of, can she get along socially, Nicole?
I think the rain will fuel her fire.
Yeah. I don't think that the rain is going to stop her. I mean, there are some people that thrive in the poor conditions out there.
Not this person.
Not you. Yeah. And as somebody who's been out there in the rain, you know, it... You know, I've said it many of the times over the years on the podcast that there is no way to describe just how miserable it is. You know, you think about
what
rain.
What do you
here.
Do when it's raining?
You do nothing. You sit and shiver in the cold. If you're lucky, you have a tarp and you're not getting that wet.
Yeah.
But it is the worst because it is freezing and you are soaked and you can't sleep. It's not like, okay, well, it's raining. Let me just
take
sleep
a nap.
Through it. You're too cold and you're wet and you can't sleep. And so it's just, it's an absolute nightmare.
And you probably hear everyone just talking about how miserable they are, getting more and more miserable.
I mean, I would, you know, without being too dramatic, I would have to say, you know, the nights out there on Survivor were probably the most I've ever suffered physically in my life. Why is that funny to you? Why are you laughing?
Why the nights?
Because it's cold and well, one, I've been, you know, in my almost 40 years on this earth, I've been very lucky to have not been through too much physical trauma. So that's, you know, it's a low bar.
Yeah.
But I feel like that the worst I've ever had was being out on Survivor in, you know, these freezing nights and being soaking wet. And especially in the Amazon after we had the fire, I had no other clothes to change into. So there was no, you know, you're cold and you're wet and that's it. There's no way to get dry. There's no towel. There's no umbrella.
I feel like I could sleep right through that.
You could not.
I probably could.
You could. You could not because that there's a million times where you can't sleep because you say the room is too hot.
I need it cold.
Listen. Listen, you're not. I'll pour a cup of water on your head and then see if you go back to sleep.
I'll probably drop a few F-bombs and roll over.
All right. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Elizabeth?
I'm going thumbs up.
Okay. Well, I think we're being we're giving too many thumbs up. Somebody's got to not win.
I gave a thumbs down. Okay. You didn't.
I'll say thumbs down on on Elizabeth. Okay. But, you know, I don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Nicole, let's talk about our next person, Gabby. Gabby.
Okay, Gabby.
She is 25 years old.
She looks very young.
She's been described as female Cochran, Aubrey, Hannah, you know, take your pick. of however you want to describe
you can definitely
a
morph
girl
the three
survivor
of them.
With glasses.
Yeah. No, you can morph the three of them and then it's like...
Yeah. The thing that really struck out was, or stood out to me was, you know, that it, they really were sort of like trying to build her up as having the same sort of anxieties that Hannah had in the, you know, lead up to this season. But Gabby was very fun talking with Josh on the first one out. Josh does a really good job on this. I just want to say.
Josh is pretty amazing.
I mean, and, you know, he's like a character in the show also.
Yes. Well, that's him in real life, too.
Yeah look, you know, my love for Josh Wiggler is knows no end.
And slightly inappropriate.
What? Well, I love nerds. Love nerds. Okay. So, here's another nerd, Gabby.
Yes.
Okay. So I worry about Gabby because when we talk about, okay, I think that the elements are going to play a big factor, and I think that they are going to weed out people who are not up to the challenge physically. I'm looking at the smaller people and younger people, and I think that Gabby is somebody who I think that that she could be an easy person. When it's been raining for 6 days and she's shaking like a leaf, I think that that could be an easy decision for this tribe.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that she's somebody who's fun, who has an interesting personality. And once everybody is soaking wet for 6 days and freezing to death.
And then has to do a challenge.
Yeah. I feel like that those are not really conditions for a personality to bubble up. It feels like the people that I think that will win over the tribe are the people that can, you know, keep the fire going during the rain, that can be, you know, physically strong and, you know, not shut down in these conditions.
Or maybe her bubbly personality. I think she talked about being positive, right? Or was that the other one?
Look, you could be as positive as you want until you're soaking wet in the rain and awake for 4 days.
Yeah.
So I'm worried about Gabby. She seems very fun. Yeah. I'm worried that we won't get to see that come out.
I can see that.
I think
see
she's
that.
An underdog of underdogs here.
Yeah.
And she had a dog with her in first one out.
Yeah, and I don't see anybody that she can really stick to on this tribe.
Yeah. What survivor are you most like? She says, I can relate to Aubrey because she is smart and emotionally intelligent. I'm prone to tear-filled moments like Dawn. And I'm flirty like Parvati. If she were bad at flirting and only nerdy guys liked her.
So that means you're nothing like Parvati.
this is a good line, though.
Yeah.
It's a good line. Interestingly, only the nerdy guys like her. I said this was a season of nerds.
Mm-hmm. So maybe this is showmance?
Maybe. Let's see. What's your claim to fame? She says, going from a couch potato to an adventure seeker who sometimes gets off the couch to hike mountains, including 14ers. Those are mountains over 14,000 feet. Is that a thing?
I don't know why it would be a thing.
14ers?
I like how she says her inspiration in life is... Go back.
Yes, her inspiration in life is what?
Where is it? Oh, her, anyone brave enough to be vulnerable, blah, 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 blah. And then anyone brave enough to rock bangs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not... No one should do that.
Nobody should have bangs?
No one should have bangs.
Not one person?
Friends don't let friends get bangs.
Okay. All right. Nicole, thumbs up or thumbs down on Gabby?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Although she does seem pretty witty.
Yeah, I just feel like it's not her season. I feel like, you know, if it was Ghost Island where it rained for 20 minutes in 39 days, and I feel like that she could have
it. Really?
That from what I understand, there was not a lot of raining going on in Ghost Island. That, you know, this season, if you play in the odd numbered season, you get the bad weather.
Yeah.
You play in the even numbered season on Survivor in Fiji, you get the good weather.
Note to self.
Note to self. Okay. So I'm just worried that it's going to just rain down on Gabby. She's an easy target. And I think that she could be out soon.
Yeah. Sorry, Gabby.
If not, the titular first one out.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I like Gabby. She knew what the wand off was.
Oh, did she?
Yes. So she said to Josh Wiggler, nice hat.
The wombat hat?
Yeah. So shout out Wombat Nation, but I don't think so. But she can babysit.
She can totally babysit.
We're open to that. Okay. Nicole, let's keep going with the David tribe. And here is Jessica Pete, social media mogul, Jessica Pete.
Is that what she says?
She did not say that, but she is well known for her social media postings, among other things. Okay, here is.
Oh, I see what you're putting out there.
Here is Jessica, the 19-year-old waitress. I have almost nothing to say about Jessica.
And I think that's what you're going to see out on the island, too.
Jeff was trying to say, look, at some point, a young person's going to win. It's going to happen. I was like, yeah, I guess if you do enough seasons.
So wait, she said something about, like, she's going to lie about her age, and the only time it's going to be difficult because she's done all the numbers is when she's not drinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
because she doesn't like to drink. She's going to say she doesn't like to drink.
But you're not allowed to drink if you're under 21 in another country?
You are not allowed that. You have to play by the rules of the United States.
Okay.
Because you're on Survivor.
If you were
a tourist and you went to Fiji, you could drink, but not if you are on a TV show that is based in the United States.
Got it.
Okay. All right. She doesn't like, she's got some pet peeves. She's 19 and she doesn't like when people don't say bless you when somebody sneezes.
Well, guess what? I am not going to say if you sneeze.
She doesn't like people who chew with their mouth open. And she doesn't like people who interrupt when others are talking. She loves Stephanie LaGrossa.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to play like Sarah in Game Changers.
Yeah.
And not like Sarah in week 2 of the Survivor Fantasy Football League.
She does MMA. Shut up.
Her goal is to go in and play like Sarah did in Game Changers. She had a phenomenal social game, and she feels like she can do the same thing because of the relationships that she normally builds with people. While doing that, she can still balance camp life. So I don't know. Well, that maybe Gabby, like one of the, I hate to say it, one of these young girls is going to be a victim of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going out in the rain. Maybe it could be Jessica.
Yeah.
Maybe if you want to talk yourself into Gabby, one of them's going in the rain.
Sorry to say. Gabby seems a little bit more witty, more fun to be around.
Yeah. She's where was Gabby from? They're both from Florida. I don't know if which one is going to hold up better in the rain.
Yeah, flip a coin.
Flip a coin. But yeah, not feeling great about Miss Pete.
Yeah. I feel like Gabby might be a better fit with this tribe than Jessica.
Yeah. I think that if, you know, they sort of are bonding over their underdog background.
And their nerdy backgrounds.
Right. I'm not really sure what makes Jessica a David.
What does she do?
She's a waitress.
I mean, she's 19 years old.
Yeah. She's going to say she's 21. We'll see. Not feeling it for Jessica.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicole, let's keep going and let's talk about Lyrsa.
So, Lyrsa. I really loved listening to her talk on First One Out.
Yes.
But I pictured somebody completely different.
Yeah. I think that the mayor of Slamtown calls her the unicorn fairy or something.
That is a compliment.
So, yeah, well, he meant it derogatory.
Well, it is a compliment.
But she was, I thought she was really fun.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. That she is an airline agent. She likes kickboxing, writing, and drawing. She lives in Boston by way of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Her mom's her hero. She wants to play like Sandra. I worry about her physically holding up here.
What does she do?
That she's an airline agent.
Oh, an airline agent.
Okay. But
on an airplane for like,
no, I don't think that she is somebody who I don't think she works on an airplane.
She like checks you in.
Yeah, I think she probably works at the airport.
Okay.
But I could be wrong about that. Airline agent sounds like they're in like ticketing.
Yeah.
So, but she was really funny.
She's probably got to deal with a bunch of crazies.
She's got to deal with crazy people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that she, I think she would fit in with this tribe with the purple hair, that we're sort of outcasts. We're sort
just
of
being yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going up against the, you know, the favorites here. So she could be in the right tribe. I think she's fun.
I think she's got a really good energy about her, but that could get, that could be grating to some people.
Yeah. I just think that it, it
like the mayor of Slamtown.
Well, in the early stages, that with the conditions being what they are, I just think that the quirky people are going to have a hard time finding their niche.
What? But they're all quirky.
Not every single person is quirky and not in this way. So I'm worried again. I'm worried about Larissa, that she's not top of mind for me of people that could go out early, but I'm concerned about her.
Yeah.
Go for it. But she seems like she knows the game.
Yeah.
She seems like she's on top of the ball. And she talks about, you know, Hurricane Maria. So she's been through some weather.
Yeah.
So I think she'll be tough enough.
I think so.
Yeah. So I'll say thumbs up for Larissa.
I'll say thumbs up, but probably not the jury.
So, I mean, how could you be thumbs up and not the jury?
I think she's going to make the merge.
Make the merge and not the jury? I mean,
it's possible.
It is possible. So, but that's a very specific finish that you're predicting for her.
And I stand by it.
All right. So Nicole is basically trying to call her shot here that Larissa is going to have, a seventh place finish, make it to the merge feast, get voted out the night of the merge.
Yes.
Okay. Also, that doesn't even happen in every season.
Like, it's gonna, well,
like Chris Noble was the first person voted out the merge, and he was on the jury. Jessica Johnston, first person at the merge, did not make the jury.
Well, like I always say, what do I know?
But why do you say it though? Is really where,
because in my brain it sounds good.
Like if I didn't feel like I knew something, I wouldn't try to make a super specific. I try to leave myself a way out, wiggle room.
That's not me.
Let's talk about Nick Wilson.
That was really loud, that bell.
All right, you're not even wearing headphones.
I know, but it echoed in my ear.
All right, are you okay?
I'm good.
You're hanging in there? Okay. Nick Wilson, Nicole. Public
super
defender.
Fan.
Yes. Okay. Nick Wilson, I thought, was fun on First One Out, too. He's excited to be there, Nick Wilson. Uh-huh. Wants to be called Kentucky. I don't know if I can get behind Kentucky.
I don't think I could stand behind that.
Kentucky Wilson.
Yeah.
Okay. But here he is.
We'll call you Nick.
We'll call you Nick Wilson. And here he is. He's so pumped up. He's been all over the previews that I watch every episode of Big Brother. Here's Nick Wilson. He's like, they're like, Survivor, David versus Goliath. And Nick Wilson's like, I'm going to get myself a slingshot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he has been the line. He's been out in front, Nick Wilson.
Yeah.
So
he's got the biggest smile I think I've ever seen.
He's happy to be there.
I could see every single one of his teeth and a cavity.
Nick Wilson loves Survivor. Okay, Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
So here he is, and he's ready to go. He is a David that he has, you know, a very interesting background.
He does not like know-it-alls, though. Was that geared towards you?
Well, maybe
dashes and all.
Look, that if he doesn't like the know-it-alls, then he's barking up the wrong tree. Okay. Nicole, so he feels like he's like JT from Token Teens, Heroes vs. Villains and Game Changers. I would go with just JT from Token Teens.
Yeah. If you were a super fan, you would know that.
Yeah, he's got Southern charm. He can be hard-headed when he's in the heat of a competition. He is a public defender, but he is not going to say that, Nicole.
What is he going to say?
He's going to say that he's like a counselor who works in a law office.
It's a big lie.
It's a medium lie.
It's a lie.
Yeah. Okay. His inspiration in life is his Mama Joan, grandma.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She was a big factor in his life. That he is.
He doesn't care about the fame because Survivor's only famous for like 6 months anyway.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Nick Wilson, you know, I feel good about Nick. I feel like the arrow is pointing up for him because, I mean, unless that he comes out there and is a total lunatic, I feel like that this isn't the kind of guy that tends to go out before the merge.
I feel like he'd get on my nerves.
You get on your nerves? Yeah. Why? Have you had an interaction with him?
No, I haven't. I just hearing
too,
him.
Too optimistic?
Too optimistic, too happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's grating when you're in a monsoon.
Well, I don't know how he'll necessarily be in a monsoon. I think he's going to be pumped up to be on Survivor.
Because if he's smiling like that when the rain's coming down, the MMA fighter's going to dropkick him.
Sometimes you get too caught up in one thing, and yes,
that's what I'm
he has a
at.
Big smile in this picture, but you don't know if that's what he's going to be like in the day-to-day. You can't just look at one thing and get sucked in.
But this is what I've been looking at when I'm watching First One Out.
Okay, so he has a big smile. So what?
Yeah.
Okay. Nick Wilson, Nicole. You see, so you think that he is going to be that he so in your mind?
Yes.
Okay. He is going to be voted out because he's going to be too optimistic
and too smiley.
Too smiley.
Mm-hmm.
No one in the 18-year history of Survivor has ever been voted out for being too smiley.
Because I haven't played.
Nick Wilson will be the first person.
Well, that's not the reason. After, that's not why they're going to say when they're writing Nick.
After Lyrsa gets
voted out. I'm just
going to
wipe that smile right off your face. I'm writing your name down.
That people get voted out more for the opposite, for having the resting, unsmiling face, Nicole. But nobody's like that. I mean, Jeremy Collins once said about Drew Christie, why y'all so happy? But it wasn't that wasn't why he wanted to vote him out.
I'm sure it was a factor.
I don't think so.
I bet it was. He just didn't say it.
Okay, this is
or editing.
This is not informing anybody about the Survivor season, Nicole.
Well, this is why you have me on.
Is it to talk about Nick Wilson smiles too much?
Too big of a smile. Got to vote him out.
All right. So Nicole says thumbs down on Nick Wilson. I think he's around for a while.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Nicole. Let's keep going here on our Goliath tribe. After Nick Wilson is Pat Cusack. He's from upstate New York. And did you know, Nicole, that the whole season of David versus Goliath was based on Pat Cusack?
I heard it every time I watched the video.
Yeah. Jeff says that, hey, we got this guy, Pat. I really like Pat. He's got tattoos and he's had a hard life.
Yes.
So here he is, Nicole. Pat Cusack likes the New York Giants. Doesn't have a lot to smile about right now.
And not like you do either.
Well, Jets won one game. Hashtag fire Todd Bowles. Okay. Nicole, his pet peeves are cracking his knuckles.
How can something you do be a pet peeve?
I mean, maybe he doesn't like it's a bad habit.
Okay, but then it's like, that is, what's the bad habit that you do?
Crack my knuckles.
Okay, that would be the answer.
But I love cracking my knuckles.
Because you're weird.
I think a lot of people, I think that's why people do it.
I think it's also a habit.
It's a habit, but it's, you know, I'm worried. You know, I feel like it's bad for me, but I love it.
You sound really creepy.
it's very fun. Okay. Nicole.
Is this a code for something else?
I wish. Okay. Nicole, what?
I'm going to go crack my knuckles in the other room.
I wish. Nicole, what Survivor contestant are you most like? Cochran, because he's a chameleon like me. And Hatch, because he's a true to life person. Does Pat Cusack scream Cochran to you?
No. He screams Zane.
Zane. Yo, what's his neck tattoo? What is that?
Joe D.
Okay. Oh, that looks like alien letters. I couldn't figure out what it was. So Nicole, he's from Watervliet, New York.
Or he's from Cohoes.
Yeah, like, I think he's around near Albany.
Like, there's two hoes and they're Cohoes.
Cohoes.
That's like, what the town is named after.
Like, you're the Cohoes of this podcast.
I'm just a hoe.
Yeah. All right. Nicole. You're losing it. Pat Cusack. Any thoughts on Pat?
I think he's fun.
It sounded like the first one out, he was getting on people's nerves.
I could see that.
It sounded like a lot of people were saying, like, boy, he's really inconsiderate.
I think he's going to go back to his co-host very soon.
You think so? Yeah, it does not sound like Pat is winning people over at Ponderosa going into the game. And that can be a factor.
Yeah, first impressions.
First impressions are pretty big. So
But he has a good story.
Yeah, he certainly has a good story. Now, do we ever get a sense of how he's going to try to play the game? Where I don't necessarily get the sense that he's going to go out there and try to hance it up.
I hope not. I don't think so. He doesn't look like a psycho.
And I don't mean getting voted off second.
Okay. Or yeah.
Yeah. Nicole, so that he wants to go out in there. He wants $1 million, but he wants the excitement of the tropical paradise also.
Well, sorry to tell you, that ain't happening.
Well, what's not happening? Oh,
it's a monsoon.
Yeah, well, you know, if you really hate the snow, it might be better.
Yeah.
I mean, would you rather be in a tropical monsoon or in a blizzard?
Okay, Big Jeff. Wrong show.
All right. So he's had a hard life, Pat. I don't think that the elements are going to mess with him. So he has that working for him.
You think he'll be good in challenges?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He
seems very determined.
The best thing he has going for him is that, and Russell did have this in Samoa, which was another bad weather season where that a lot of people might wilt under the terrible conditions. Pat Cusack is not going to be slowed down by the monsoon.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, he's going to be the guy who, like, he runs hot. He's not going to be freezing. People are going to be trying to, sleep next to him in the shelter. So he has that going for him. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, if you wanted to have, like, best case scenario for Pat, I feel like that, you know, a biblical rainstorm, I think, would be a good start for him.
Yes.
So I feel like that the elements favor Pat.
So your thumbs up.
I'd say I'm thumbs up.
Yeah.
I feel like it could work for him.
See, I'm thinking he makes the merge, but not the jury.
Right. But, like, he could be the guy. Yeah, well, you already picked somebody. There's not going to be two people like that. You're laughing? Are you trolling me?
Maybe.
Is that what this is? Nicole, that he is the kind of guy, I think that, like, it could be... He might be out there in the monsoon looking for idols when nobody else is.
Okay, and that could go either way.
Could go either way, but I feel like that, you know, if everybody is getting along and all of, like, the nerdy people are holding court, maybe I don't think that helps him as much as everybody is miserable and he's, like, the one guy that can still function in these elements.
Yeah.
So I'll say thumbs up for Pat.
Okay.
Okay? To be contrarian. All right. Nicole, that's your David tribe. Okay?
And we're done.
Nope, we're not done because we have the Goliath tribe to talk about as well here today. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing okay. This chair is very uncomfortable.
Do you want to get a different chair?
There isn't another chair.
What about
this is fine. I'll deal.
What about the chairs in the kitchen?
And then we got to take it downstairs.
Do you want this chair?
No,
I will give you this chair.
No, I'm good.
All right. We're talking about these survivors. You're talking about, like, oh, rainstorm, that you're having a hard time with a folding chair on the podcast.
But I'm powering through.
You're powering through. Okay. That would be the one endurance challenge I could have you beat. Sitting in the folding chair.
Well, congratulations.
All right. Nicole, before we get to the Goliaths, let me take a moment and tell you again about DC Universe. We talked about a lot of people that might be interested in the comic books. Yes, even you, Nicole.
Totally.
Yes. DC Universe, if you are a comic book fan, you should check this out because the biggest Goliath of them all, Nicole, is Superman. If you are a Superman fan, they've got every single Superman movie, every single TV iteration of Superman, including Lois and Clark with Terry Hatcher. You can go back and read all of the back issues of the Superman comics. It's not just to watch TV and films, but also to read the comic books as well. It's the ultimate DC membership, the only place where you can watch original DC series like Titans, Young Justice, Outsiders, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, Stargirl, and Harley Quinn. Did you even know a Harley Quinn series was coming?
I had no idea.
The comic reader will change the way you read comics. It even works on your big screen TV. It's the place to grab exclusive DC merch as well. Justice League animated series, action figures, members only store, much more. Share your own DC knowledge and check out the interactive encyclopedia with fan contribution, available on all your favorite devices: iOS, Android, Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Android TV, and Google Chromecast. It's more than just a streaming service. This is your universe. Only $7.99 a month. Better yet, grab an annual membership and save 20%. Join the ultimate DC membership today at DCUniverse.com. Okay.
This sounds like a good deal.
Look, if this is your thing, and there's a couple of these people that we'll talk about that would be into it.
It's their thing.
It's their thing. Okay. Nicole, let's keep going. Let's meet the Goliath tribe. Nicole, anything on the Goliath tribe picture?
They seem happier and more welcoming.
Yeah.
They're closer together. Their hands are not crossed in front of them. They seem more like a group.
All right. So, okay, Goliath is more cohesive, according to
Nicole. Seemingly.
All right, Nicole. Alec Merlino, 24-year-old bartending Goliath.
Uh-huh. Can you open up the CBS?
Yes. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Alec Merlino. And, you know, that Jeff Probst defines a Goliath as someone who's a, you know, a true person who takes advantage of all of the things that life has given them. I'm not really sure. I guess big hair is what the universe has given Alec, and that's his advantage.
Yes, and he can make strong drinks.
Yes, he likes to play guitar. He likes to make travel videos.
Yeah.
Okay, he hangs out in San Clemente. Does he surf?
Yes, obviously.
Could surf.
Yep.
He would, if he could have three things, Nicole, he would want a picture of his loved ones to keep him motivated, a picture of his bank account statement because it's zero, and a guitar to sing Kumbaya.
If someone came to the fire and sang Kumbaya,
you'd,
I might
smash
push them in.
Like Animal House. Yeah. He says, what contestant are you the most like? He can relate most to Jay, Joe, and Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, really has a type.
Yeah.
Jay, Joe, Malcolm, and Alec Merlino, not Merlonio.
Yeah.
So here he is. I do not have much to say here about Alec Merlino.
I feel like
he is the male Jessica Pete.
I feel like I really wish that they had the CBS videos, because I feel like his B-roll would be amazing. Like, I seriously picture him like putting his fingers like on his nose, like he's like dancing, like
while he's singing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have a lot to say here on Alec. Are you thumbs up or thumbs down?
He's probably thumbs up. I mean, look at him. He's probably very personable. He's a bartender.
A total douche for them to get rid of
him. He doesn't seem like a douche. He seems like a very personable guy.
Seems like a pretty chill guy.
Yeah.
You're right.
He's going to be good at challenges. The girls are going to like him. The dudes are going to be gravitating towards him.
Right. He's giving.
That's why he's a Goliath.
He's giving me millennials versus Gen X Ken vibes.
Yeah.
Like a young Ken.
I think he might have highlights.
Okay.
In his hair.
You think so? All right. Nicole, let's keep going then. After Alec Merlino, let's talk about Allison Raybould, the physician, Nicole. All right. So what do you think about Dr. Allison?
I like that Jeff told a story about how he just like shut her up. About like she's like, how am I not a David? Like, I worked really hard in my life, and like I shouldn't be a Goliath, I should be a David. And then he's like, well, you had parents that supported you had, you know, basically this
Yeah.
Nice life.
I mean, to be fair to Allison, the line between David and Goliath is somewhat suspect at times.
I don't think so. I mean, you have one guy who had a mom that was paralyzed.
Right. Okay. So there are some cases where it is clearly defined, much like a lot of these seasons. And then other people, it's like they could be on either track.
Like the 19-year-old.
Yes. Or the bartender.
Yeah.
You know, could easily be a David.
Yeah.
All right. But here is medical Goliath. Allison, her hobbies include getting to the bottom of bottomless breadsticks at the Olive Garden.
That is a great game.
Working out in any capacity, typically swimming, circuit training, running, hiking, playing medical would you rather with friends. Nicole, as a nurse, have you ever played medical would you rather? How does that work?
No, I work with sick babies. Like, yeah. There's nothing.
So with the other nurses, you don't ever get together. Like, would you rather get an IV of tap water? Or,
you know what? I work at the night shift and sometimes there's some downtime and I think I'm going to bring this game into the
medical
unit.
Would you rather? It could be a podcast segment.
This is some good stuff. Thank you.
Do you want to ask me one?
Would you rather an enema or a
you stink at this. An enema or what?
Or a nasal gastric tube.
How long do I have to wear the nasal gastric tube?
It could be as long as an hour or a week.
Does that go into my stomach?
It does.
How long do I get the enema for?
It's a repeated enema.
How often is it repeated?
We need to repeat it every 3 hours.
Every 3 hours?
You have a severe problem.
And how long do I have to have the other thing?
Probably like, I don't know, a few days.
A few days?
Yes.
Is it really uncomfortable?
The insertion is not pleasant.
I mean, you're going to wait.
And you can't eat.
I'm going to be sleeping and you're going to wake me up to get the enema?
Every 3 hours.
I mean, crazy talk.
This is medical, would you rather?
This is like human centipede. This is like, what are you trying to accomplish medically with these things?
Although with the nasal gastric tube, you don't have to eat. You bypass eating.
Okay. All right. And then once it's in, is it unpleasant?
I mean, you have it taped to your nose and it's like, it's going
to irritate. Could I watch Netflix and forget it's there?
You can Netflix and not chill.
I feel like that I wouldn't forget the enema. So, all right. We're getting off the topic here. Medical would you rather? It comes up with so many thought-provoking conversations.
I know. I feel like I'm really going to do this now.
Okay. Three words to describe her. She's a hero, a healer, and a hustler. See what she did there?
Got it.
She says she's most like Andrea.
Okay.
A fellow Midwesterner.
Okay.
She wants to win $1 million because she wants to thank her parents for the endless opportunities. Okay. Allison,
and
thumbs
she also,
up.
Yes. She also wanted to become an oncology doctor, or an oncologist is what we call them in the biz, because of Adam Klein.
Okay.
Or maybe not because of Adam Klein.
She could relate to
Okay. She was relate. Yeah, I think that's what the story was.
Right. I mean, if anybody wanted to become a medical professional because of Adam Klein, we will see them as a medical professional in about 5 years. Okay. Nicole. Allison, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I don't know. I like her. I think she seems smart. She's not like one of the boring doctors.
She's strong.
She's funny.
She's smart. She has a good background. She'd have to have a really terrible personality to be singled out as somebody to go here.
And I don't think she does.
Or play way too hard.
Or play way too much medical, would you rather.
Yeah. So I think thumb is up for Allison.
Yes.
She should be around for a bit.
Okay. I do.
All right. Let's keep going, and then let's talk about Angelina. Angelina, another person who has a connection to Adam Klein.
She's her their friend.
She's an FOA friend of Adam.
Uh-huh.
And,
FOA?
Yes. And so that she is somebody who went to college with Adam Klein. Adam Klein will be at Run It Up Reno. You could ask him about all of his Stanford stories there.
She also lives in San Clemente with Alex.
Oh, maybe she goes to the bar. She's a financial consultant. She likes to travel the world. Three words to describe her are intuitive, persuasive, and loving. Her pet peeves are indecisiveness, when people don't vote, and when people don't like dogs. So she really hates people who stay home to not vote because they can't decide who to vote for.
You need to rock the vote, people.
Yes. Her claim to fame is that she was elected to serve over 15,000 students as a student body president.
Okay.
The Goliath of student body. Her inspiration are her parents. Corinne would have really killed her for this one. If you could have three things on the island, what would they be and why? A copy of Maya Angelou's Still I Rise, a poem that sums up my mindset for life and Survivor. A radio so I could listen to the news every day, not knowing what's going on in the world around me is going to be one of the hardest parts of the game.
But probably the best thing for you.
And makeup. I'm not going to front. I wear it every day.
Yep. Me too.
You know what? The news, I feel like that there's so much news. Like if somebody went on Survivor for 6 weeks and they came back like, what did I miss? It's like,
you'd rather not
more
know.
The same. Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be a problem for her. She seems like a politically
charged up.
Politically charged up, which is totally cool if that's your thing. But this is a mixed crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Goliath tribe.
This is a mixed crowd.
Yeah, I haven't really done a deep dive into what the political views
might be. And I do get some Harvey vibes off of her.
From the Goliath tribe. I'm trying to see. Do we know what party the mayor of Slamtown ran for?
I have some ideas, but I'll keep it to myself.
We don't know if which party the mayor is from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know necessarily if the rest of the tribe looks like that they're going to be super outspoken one way or the other. Maybe more so going back to the David tribe.
I could see a few that may have some opinions.
Yeah. Look, that has been a age-old story on Survivor where people, more so in past seasons, had differences politically, like a Frank Garrison going back to Survivor Africa. So we'll see if that is a factor for her. But I think that Angelina should be okay here. Nicole, a thumbs up or thumbs down for Angelina?
I'm going to say thumbs up.
I think Jeff said about her that her problem is that that she's more high maintenance than she thinks she is.
Well, she wears makeup every day.
She wears makeup every day, but I think a lot of people do.
Actually, you know what? I found out that is actually not true.
Oh.
No. Which, for me...
What did you find out? That a lot of people don't wear makeup every day.
A lot of people don't wear makeup every day.
Yeah.
Which, that's not me.
Yeah.
Am I high maintenance?
Yeah. Yes. Very high. as high as you could be. That I was talking about you today, and I said, look, when everything is perfect, my wife is very easygoing.
But nothing is perfect.
I did say that nothing has been perfect since 2003, I think, was the next thing. But yeah, no, you're high maintenance. Am I high maintenance?
In some ways, yes.
I think I am minimal maintenance.
You are low maintenance on some things and effing high maintenance on other things.
But then once I have, but it's a small number of things.
No, it's not. You also lack self-awareness.
I lack self-awareness?
Yes.
How could that be? How could I make all these podcasts if I didn't have self-awareness?
You're a good podcaster. You just don't have any self-awareness.
Thank you, honey. Okay. All right, let's keep going. Let's not get too lost on this. And let's talk about, Dan Rengering. What kind of name is Rengering?
It's Hot Cop.
Hot Cop. He's a SWAT officer, and he loves comic books. He might check out the DC Universe at some point.
I feel like Dan the Man is the perfect package.
Yeah, that Dan the Man, did you anoint him that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm not the first one, but I'm calling my shot here.
Here is Dan. He also lost a lot of weight. He was much heavier before he was Hot Cop.
Yeah.
He's got like a ugly duckling thing going on.
Well, it's working.
Okay. And so here he is, and he is a police officer. He's not going to hide the fact that he is a police officer. He loves comic books. He reads all about the Marvel universe, talks with Josh Wigler
about
that.
I have a promo code for you.
It's no promo code. Here is Dan, Nicole. You want to talk, see Dan's bio?
I would love to.
Okay. This is Dan and his bio. That he was photographed.
How you smile.
Okay, all right. So, thumbs up to Dan, and Nicole says thumbs down for Nick Wilson's smile. Okay. He ended up that he was rescuing somebody in a hurricane, and then got branded as a hot cop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't you Google hot cop and see what comes up?
I'd rather not. I don't want that in my search history, to be honest. What about?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot worse.
Yeah. Hot podcaster. Is that a thing?
No.
No.
It's not.
All right. He likes to work out in the gym. He runs at the stadium. He runs the SWAT obstacle course. That sounds fun. Playing video games and having date nights with my daughters.
Oh, my God. He's so sensitive.
Yeah. Okay, pet peeves, can't stand people that are lazy. Go out and get what you want. Don't complain about it. Do nothing and expect it to happen. And he hates it when people cut me off when I'm talking. Please, let me finish what I have to say. It might be important.
I won't cut you off on what you're trying to say.
Okay, he made the SWAT team, his hero is his stepfather. There's a song written by Brad Paisley that makes him...
He's sensitive.
Yes, he's the total package. He can relate to Malcolm, and his primary motivation is to win. Okay.
Okay.
Nicole, what do we think about Hot Cop?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, what can you say?
Right, here's my question with Hot Cop. Is he a recruit? The one thing, and I don't remember if he talked about it with Josh, was... that he seemed like he was cramming. Does he know the show? Great.
Mm-hmm. Recruits have won before, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But, you know, he's kind of like known on social media that he sort of like he kind of knew who Josh was. But didn't know.
He didn't know Rob has a podcast.
No, I think he knew. He knew what it was. He didn't know what the wand off was.
Oh, well then.
Yeah. So
there's an X,
but I feel very good about Dan though as a player. That's my again. If I was gonna have my one caveat, that's it. Does that how well does he know the game?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a smart guy. He's got the great personality. That he's a like Malcolm, a late bloomer.
But you know what? Maybe
a Goliath in bloom.
Sometimes not knowing the game, maybe can that help?
Then how would that help?
I don't know if you just go off.
It's
your...
like, well, I don't know too much about what I'm doing, but
that would totally be my strategy.
I mean, that there is a very happy medium,
yeah.
Where and you don't have to know everything. I feel like if you've seen two or three seasons,
you lose me at numbers,
right? You know most of what's going on. I mean, it's the game is not impossible, and you could certainly way overdo it where you are, annoying people talking about the game. I could vouch for that. So that's my one thing that gives me pause with Dan.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But overall, I feel like that he's good. Is he making a mistake telling people he's a police officer?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's a mistake if he goes, I'm hot cop.
Just so don't tell people he's hot
cop. Yeah, they'll probably make that reference.
I liked what he was saying too about that he's like a millennial police officer. It's a kinder, gentler police force out there. You got to talk to people nowadays.
Yeah,
you don't just go around arresting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel very good about Dan.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Nicole. Let's keep going here in the Goliath tribe, and after Dan, let's talk about Jeremy. Jeremy, another big personality in First One Out. And let's talk about how you feel about Mr. Crawford. Jeremy Crawford, another person from South Carolina. His hobbies include traveling, dancing, and genealogy. How's that as a hobby?
or do you study lineages? Is that what's what
does he
what
study his own lineage or other people's? His pet peeves are lateness, illogicalness, and entitlement.
Yes.
That he is a lawyer. He passed the bar in New York, New Jersey, and Georgia on the first try.
You have to take the bar in each state? That sucks.
Yep.
Nurses, we could just have reciprocity.
Well, pin a rose on your nose.
On my nursing license.
On your nursing license. And you could play medical, would you rather. He could play legal, would you rather, which is also not a super fun game.
That is probably a downer.
Would you rather serve 9 months in minimum penitentiary or...
3 days in solitary confinement.
In Gen Pop. Okay. He is a hero. He doesn't really have a hero, but he admires Oprah's ability to relate to people.
Okay, well, Oprah is pretty magical.
Yeah, okay. Which Survivor contestant are you most like? Jeremy Collins. Boy, so many people come out and say Jeremy.
Well, Jeremy is a pretty awesome Survivor player.
He's very good.
And a very awesome person.
He's very good. Hopefully he's not that good of a fantasy football player in the Survivor Fantasy Football Player of the League this week. Okay. Why do you think you'll survive Survivor? He has an uncanny ability to read people and gain their trust. One of the interesting things that he said towards the end of the Goliath edition of First One, that he felt like that looking at this cast, Nicole, he said, look, there's one hot guy in this cast.
Him?
No. He said there's one ripped guy, another guy that's kind of good looking. In a normal season, the women get distracted by all of the hot guys. This season, he's concerned there's not enough hot guys to pull the women off and to pair up into showmances. The women might end up getting together because of the lack of really attractive guys in this season. Are you buying or selling that theory?
I understand what he's saying, but...
I was like, boy, he's being really shady to the other guys on this season.
Except the one hot guy.
Yes. I believe that he was saying that the mayor of Slamtown was the one hot guy.
What?
I believe that was his...
everyone has different tastes.
Yes, okay. So, Nicole, are you buying or selling that theory? Not enough hot guys, not enough male eye candy in this season. The women will get together.
I have little faith in the women on Survivor because very rarely are they able to get together.
Very rarely.
Yes.
Okay. So, Nicole, otherwise, how are you feeling about Jeremy?
I like him, but he's a really big personality.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be too much.
Yeah, he seems athletic enough. He seems strong. He seems smart. I mean, I feel like that he has a lot going for him.
I feel like the Goliaths are really going to kill the Davids.
Yeah, I think that the Davids are going to...
It feels like really top heavy.
Right. So just going back to what I was saying with the women on the David tribe, I feel like that the Davids could be going to a few tribal councils. And
yes.
I think that I'm worried with the conditions.
Yeah, so, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it could be a wipeout.
But sometimes the bigger guys fall the hardest.
In what way?
In that they're babies.
The people that have super low body fat, like Garrett Adelstein and stuff like that. But I don't think we're talking about until we get to, the mayor of Slamtown.
Yeah, but there's also like there's the flu and then there's man flu.
Okay. All right. Well, now we're getting into medical. Would you rather?
It's not. It's,
all right.
It's not.
Yeah, thumbs up or thumbs down on Jeremy?
I'll go thumbs up.
Okay. I will too. Okay. Nicole, all right. Let's talk about John Hennigan, the mayor of Slamtown, the Wednesday Night Delight. Here he is, Nicole, and he is a big personality in all through First One Out. Very fun. I'm really excited to see him on the show. I do not think he will do especially well, but
he might be first one out.
I do think that he is going in there and trying to bring us some entertainment.
He knows how to work the cameras.
And as a viewer and a podcaster of this show, that I appreciate anybody who is going out there and trying to make these shows interesting.
Absolutely.
Anybody that's out there, because I feel like that is the least selfish thing you could do on this show, is at least go out there and give me something.
Give us a good show.
Who's watching the show. You're thinking of us, the viewer, and giving us something.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, John Hennigan, for attempting to entertain us, because I know certain reality people don't feel any obligation to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nicole, here we go. He lives in Los Angeles, and he hates unsolicited advice and delusional people.
I hate those too.
Yeah. Okay. He has a lot of names. What's his favorite? Your favorite name for John Hennigan? The mayor of Slamtown, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Morrison, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, Shaman of Sexy, and the Wednesday Night Delight.
I thought you were the Shaman of Sexy.
No, I thought that me and Stephen Fishback were the Wednesday Night Delights. That's what I thought. He ripped us off.
You can sue him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nicole, then he has Ab Wheels. What Survivor contestant are you most like? He says Mike Holloway with his shades of Cochran. I kind of feel like that people don't know who John Cochran is anymore. Why are all these people who are not John Cochran saying they're like John Cochran?
Mm-hmm. Well, because he won.
I guess so.
And he was fairly recent.
But he wants to win. He wants the money. He's going to buy a Corvette the size of a Hummer and fast as a Corvette. So, look.
Well, that wouldn't really be a Corvette then.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that John Hennigan can hang on as long as possible here. But
for the sake of viewers.
For the sake of the viewers. I mean, he is going to at least bring it for the cameras. What he will be like with the other contestants, I think, is a bit of a question mark.
Yeah.
What is it like? I get it where, you know, Josh Wigler is talking to him, and Josh Wigler is like, you know, Mean Gene Okerlund getting
sound bites. I don't know who that is.
You don't know who that is?
No.
Yeah. But it's another thing to have. What is it like people having everyday interactions with John Hennigan?
Does having him on the show, does it give like wrestling fans like a Woody?
I'm sure. I mean, yeah. Are there people who do not watch Survivor who will watch it because John Hennigan is on the show? I mean, maybe there's 30 people that...
Like, would my brother be like, I'm tuning in for this?
Ask him who John Hennigan is. See, okay. I in my very passing knowledge of the last 20 years of WWE, I had not heard of him prior to this, but people that know stuff about that, you know, definitely know who he is.
Did you see in the other room that remote control car that my brother built?
Yes.
And that it has...
A WWE diva.
And it also has, like, some wrestlers on...
Yeah, it
cover.
Seemed like Nicole's brother, Joey.
Who's quite a character.
Yes, a big character, not unlike John Hennigan.
Yes.
And he is a longtime WWE fan. Although I feel like that last maybe 5 or 10 years, I feel like not so much.
He works a lot now.
Yeah. And so, but a lot of wrestling memorabilia around the basement.
Yes.
So
it's kind of creepy.
Yes. And I think he did go through a very interested in the WWE Divas phase.
Yeah, he...
I think before he was married.
I think it was while he was married. He,
I don't
know. Fangirled when we saw them.
Okay. All right. John Hennigan, I think the arrow is pointing up, but I feel if I had to pick somebody who was going to make the jury and not the merge, I think that this would be my merge boot.
Oh, now it exists.
If it exists. It wasn't a thing before you made it a thing of trying to predict that, but then that would be my
pick.
But
you get what I was saying.
I guess so. We would call that merge boot. Okay. Kara K, Nicole. Let's bring up Kara K. And here she is. She is a realtor. And she is a former Charger cheerleader. She was the Rookie of the Year, MVP in 2014, and captain for 2 years. What's the shelf life for NFL cheerleader? Because
I don't think it's very long.
She was Rookie of the Year. Oh, it doesn't say. Okay. Now, it says, I was rookie of the year, comma, MVP in 2014. What year was her rookie year? Was it, she was,
I guess it was both in 2014.
Was it?
I mean, I was rookie of the year, comma, MVP in 2014.
And a captain for 2 years. So I don't know. I don't know. Like, what year was she rookie of the year? Well, like, I'd like to see some statistics on this.
We need to see your resume.
Yeah. Okay. So she wants to play like Parvati because she was brilliant, flirtatious, and she won. Okay. She also would have a positive attitude, which I guess Nicole would want to vote her out then, and make connections like Figgy, except she'd avoid getting into showmance at all costs. So that's a weird comp to make, where I'm going to play like Figgy, but without the showmance. It's like, what did Figgy do that was so distinct that, I mean, if you would say, like, I'm going to get into a showmance like Figgy, I get it, but I'm going to play like Figgy without the showmance.
Well,
like,
then you're not playing like her.
This is weird.
This is math.
This is a weird comparison to make.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to be like Dr. Mike, but without all the penis humor.
You wouldn't be Dr. Mike.
All right. What's your reason to win Survivor? To win $1 million? It seems like a good reason. She's relentless. I don't have a lot to say.
Seems kind of basic.
About Kara K.
Seems kind of basic.
Jeff seemed very high on her.
Well, because she's pretty.
Yeah, but I think he likes it when a woman is attractive, but she says, like, hey, I know I'm attractive. I'm going to use it to my advantage.
Yeah.
So that's like the magic thing. If somebody's going through casting,
she has good eyebrows.
They should say that to Jeff. I think that.
But you better back it up.
I mean, I think it helps get you on the show.
But if you're not really attractive and you're saying it,
So yeah, so that it's one thing to be attractive, but I think that they like it when you say, like, oh, I know I'm good looking.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it, and I use it every day to my advantage.
Yeah, and even if you're not,
that's like the magic words to say.
Yeah.
So even if it's not true, it sounds good. All right. That's Kara. I feel like
you're basic.
I don't have a lot to go on here. I'm sorry.
I need those videos.
Maybe she's great, but it didn't really pop for me as a personality. Okay. Mike White. Nicole, do you know anything about this guy?
Not so much.
Other than he apparently really pissed off the CBS photographers because they posted...
Perhaps, the worst picture.
Perhaps
he looks like he's sleeping.
The worst photo that you could take for his headshot here of Mike White. All right. So he is impatient with bigots, and rightfully so.
Yeah, agreed.
That he's curious, funny, dynamic, and imaginative. And who's your inspiration in life? George Plimpton. I've said the same.
Yes, me too.
He was fearless, inquisitive, and enlightened. An understatement, I would say, about George Plimpton. Yeah. Okay, if you got three things on the island, what would they be and why? An eye mask to sleep. But look. Hey, I got a hot tip, Mike White. They give you one. It's called a buff.
And Rob still uses it.
I often wear a buff to sleep because my kids need a million lights on and I can't sleep.
Yes, and it's quite frightening to wake up to.
Also, a buff is good for keeping bugs out of your mouth and nose while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So it's very good. He wants a good book, something fat. And a sea bob for the ocean? What is a sea bob?
I have no idea.
Is it like some sort of a life preserver?
I thought it said SpongeBob.
Yeah. No, he does not want a SpongeBob. He was kind of indifferent on Survivor in general. Josh asked him, like, so what if you're the first one out? He's like, I guess it would be a cool story. It's like, I got so much else going on.
That's a good attitude.
I guess so. That's a little dismissive.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like that he's like, I'd rather like do good or get, you know, be the first one out because it would be a better story at cocktail parties.
What would you have done if you were first out?
Well, I always say now I would be devastated if it happened then. But now I would just really, you know, convince myself on the upside of
leaving
not
your wife.
Waking up at 5:30 in the morning with
home
my
with those
kids
monsters.
For 36 days in a row. So...
Survivor seems nice compared to that.
Yeah. Being the first one out used to be my worst nightmare, and now it's something I fantasize about often. Like, what? There's 36 days of Ponderosa. The worst part of Ponderosa was like, okay, Rob, you have to come out and do snorkeling with Tina and Rudy. Now I'm like, can't we just stay in the Ponderosa the whole day today and do nothing?
Mm-hmm. Well, they broke you guys up into the small groups.
That's a long story. That's a story for another day. Okay. All right. Mike White. Are people going to work with Mike White? Is he going to do well?
He seems easygoing, no?
He seems easygoing. I don't know. Is he miscast here with the Goliaths? Like, I kind of feel like that he would get along better with the Davids.
He's going to get a sunburn, and I'm worried for him.
Right. He's going to get a sunburn. Does he fit in with this group, Nicole?
And you can even see from the picture he's like a little bit off to the side.
He's a little bit off to the side. I don't know how he's going to be in the challenges. I feel like that there's a lot of people from the David group that he's going to want to work with. And
if he makes it.
There.
But will they go to a tribal council?
If he makes it. Right. He could be a big beneficiary of the Goliath tribe doing well in challenges. But I do think if the Goliath tribe goes to a tribal council, I think that he is somebody who could be on the chopping block early on.
I could see that.
But if he makes it to a swap, I think he's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So keep your eye on Mike White in these first couple episodes.
You're definitely going to keep your eye on him because his skin's going to be bright red.
Yeah, you can't miss him. Okay. Nicole, after Mr. Mike White, then let's talk about Natalia Ozakwa. She has an interesting backstory where she went to the EW Pop Fest and played the challenges. And I think that there is a non-zero chance that she beat me in a challenge. I definitely lost to a woman in a challenge, the one where you have to stack up the word immunity on the ropes. And I had just seen Sydney do that in Koh Rong, and she did it super slow and she won. And I said, look, I might lose, but I'm not going to lose because my blocks are going to fall over. And somebody, a woman who very well, maybe Natalia smoked me in this challenge. Mm-hmm. So maybe she's
so that
like,
is a good sign.
She's like, hey, I beat a survivor in a challenge. Little does she know, like, it's one of the worst challenge performing survivors that you can come up with. But I'm not 100% sure it was her.
Uh-huh.
That's her story. She went to the EW Pop Fest. And there was a few of us.
So she was a fan.
Survived. Well, she was at least a fan of EW Pop Fest. I don't know if she was a fan of Survivor before that, but that was her story. And
she's like Kelly Wentworth, so she's never watched Survivor.
I mean, she may not have seen a ton of it, but she says she's like Kelly Wentworth because even though she kept finding herself at the bottom, she took all the necessary steps to get further in the game. That's really. Most Goliaths say they can relate to the ultimate Goliath, Kelly Wentworth. Yeah, what is she a Goliath of, Nicole? A Goliath of beating me in challenges? Is that what it is?
She's an industrial engineer.
Industrial engineer. So a Goliath of industrial engineering.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably had a good family life, not much adversity.
Sure.
Okay.
But... look, she's good in challenges.
And she's good looking.
I think she'll be okay here, unless she...
I don't think she's going anywhere.
Yeah, she wants a blanket to keep her warm at night. Good luck with that here in the early going. She's going to be the final survivor because she's good at reading people.
Okay. That's what they all say.
We'll see. Look, I don't have a lot to go on here with these young women. A couple of them... are going to be out early. A couple of them are going to go far and do really well.
It just seems that these are all like really strong people.
Everybody's really strong.
On the Goliaths.
Yeah, the Goliath tribe is has a lot of athletes.
Yeah, I mean, she's into fitness.
Yeah.
She's going to be good at challenges.
I want to talk about one of my favorites here, Nicole. Let's talk about Natalie Cole.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about Natalie Cole. Now, Natalie Cole, I think, is a has the potential to be big character this season. I really like her. She was great with Josh in First One Out. She was really, you know, very funny talking about a bunch of the other players on the season. She likes roller skating. She likes traveling and creating things. Her pet peeves, people who are negative, Nicole. So that's you.
I am a positive person.
But you don't like positive
people. In a negative world.
Okay. She is a publishing mogul. She doesn't like sagging pants on young men when her employees make silly errors that cost me revenue. And lastly, when people sign up for things, they are not fully committed, thereby negatively impacting results. That's all not much.
That's a lot.
Yeah. She's very opinionated. I think she's a big...
You don't say.
She's a big character. I think that she has a high ceiling, but also a low floor. Specifically that a couple of the other survivors talked about how they felt like that physically they were worried about her keeping up.
Yes.
That they were concerned about her mobility.
Yeah.
She's 57. She's going to say she's in her mid-40s. She can pass for it.
She totally could.
She totally could. Nicole, what do you think? How are these Goliaths going to hold up with Natalie Cole?
I kind of get the mom vibe from her.
Mom vibe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does she have kids? I'm not sure.
It doesn't really. I don't think it says.
Yeah. I think that she can.
She was. Wait a second.
That's, she's talking about her mom is her inspiration
in
life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't get the sense that she's going to be a mom to too many people. Do we have a mom, really? I mean, Elizabeth on the David tribe. This is really not a season of moms.
Mm-hmm.
And Survivor might have given up on trying to make the mom thing happen.
No, but you shouldn't. you shouldn't give up.
They've been trying for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's possible. But Natalie is I think, could be very fun.
She's a character.
She's a character. I worry about her early on. And she was, you know, very outspoken about that, about how she has a lot of things not working in her favor. She is older. She's a minority. She is a woman. You know, that these are all things that are potential reasons why any reason to single somebody out.
But also in her real life, like, she's successful and she has all those things going against her in her real life, and she is successful with it.
Yeah, but I mean, Survivor, a little bit of a different animal.
A little bit.
Okay. But there she is, Nicole. Natalie. Excited to see Natalie on the new season.
I hope she stays.
So, in summary, I had not really done a full deep dive on the cast prior to doing this, and I have to say, I like this group. I'm sort of.
They seem fun.
I had been, you know, a little bit sort of like, oh, Survivor is back. You know, it's obviously a lot of work. I wasn't really pumped up for Survivor to come back until we did this. So this was a good exercise for me.
I'm looking forward to watching Survivor to just have a good time.
Yes. Okay. Well, look, we have a lot of Survivor coming this fall. We are going to, for the new listeners, basically the schedule will be that we have the Survivor Know-It-Alls live after the episode. I will talk to the survivor who is voted out on a Thursday morning, the Exit Interview podcast. We'll be back. I will talk to a Survivor alumni on Thursdays.
Ooh, la, la.
Like I've been doing for...
Ever.
You know, this is now the... 18th season of Rob as a Podcast.
Holy moly.
We're two seasons away from having Rob as a Podcast for half of the Survivor seasons, Nicole. We're getting there. We're getting closer. Then we... I think that my math will be that once we get to 40, we'll have more than...
You lost me. You can tell me something and I'll be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I wish that was the case.
With math.
Yes, with math. And then we're going to have our weekly feedback show as well.
Awesome.
Back this season.
Can I come on it?
You can come back. And then also we will have our Wiggle Room as well with Josh Wiggler, not to mention the RHAP B&B weekly with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris. Plus, Why Blank Lost with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis. So a ton of Survivor coverage about to come your way.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
I'm never going to see you.
You'll see me. You see me during the Survivor
during
season.
During a quick lunch break.
During the lunch break, yeah. And so we see each other all the time when we do the Patron 5 for 5 as well. One of the weekly podcasts that we do for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. For those of you who may not know what Patreon is or what a patron is, when I talk about it, Patreon is a service that we use that help people support this kind of content. Patreon people can support creators and the content that they enjoy with different monthly contributions. We have a number of incentives for our patrons. If you want to go ahead and check that out at robhasawebsite.com/patron. On average, I do about 8 or so pieces of patron content a month, in addition to all the other benefits that there are for patrons. Most of all is our outstanding patron community, which is going strong. It will be 5 years for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast.
Wowza.
Coming up this January. So thank you again for all of your ongoing support. And especially to everyone who sent all sorts of thoughts and messages and prayers to Nicole and her family. And Nicole, I really appreciate you taking the time to do all of this with us.
This has been a very nice distraction for me, and it feels good to smile.
Yes, good. And you were smiling?
A little bit.
Okay, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah.
The kids were bad. The kids were not going to sleep.
The kids have, we're not in our house. Everything is just so crazy right now that the kids have been also crazy.
It's approaching midnight here on the East Coast this up.
Yes, I'm going to need lots of alcohol at Know-It-Alls next week.
Okay, and Nicole will be joining me at the Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up next Wednesday night, not this upcoming Wednesday,
right.
Week 2 of the Survivor season. I'm also happy to report, I know it's going to be at these late stages of the game, I will be talking with Angie Kontz, those of you guys who are waiting for the character type breakdown. We are going to talk about that. I will be talking with Angie on Monday afternoon about that. So stay tuned. Of course, we appreciate everybody who's also subscribed to the podcast here at the start of the season. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast, everything we're doing in the Apple podcast store. If you just want our Survivor coverage, which includes the RHAP B&B plus Why Blank Lost, you could subscribe to our Survivor only feed at robhasawebsite.com/survivorpodcast.
And before you lose everybody, we didn't do our winner picks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. What kind of host are you?
Look, I've got a lot on my plate, okay? All right, Nicole. So, good. Now that we got all that out of the way.
Now that no one's listening.
Boy, well, then they'll have to hear through the grapevine.
Yes.
Hear through the grapevine. Okay.
Don't tell them.
Yeah. If they stop listening, they're not real listeners.
Don't tell
anyway.
Them.
Okay. Nicole, do you have a winner pick for the season? Yes. Who you got?
I have.
Yes.
Hot Cop.
That's what I was going to pick also.
Okay. It was none.
It was.
Well, you can't pick them.
Why? Because the last time we both picked the same person,
we got Rachel.
Rachel. Look, we were all thinking of the right thing. The Tyson went on to win.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now Nicole has bumped me off of Hot Cop, and now I have to pick somebody else. All right. Let me look. I'll pick a David. Okay. And let me look at these Davids real quick. Here. And so, all right. So, Nicole, I liked Hot Cop, but I thought that does he know how to make a fire? That's really what
he can do everything.
I want to pick somebody that I think can make the fire. That's really... I don't think any of these bozos
can make a fire.
that's what it comes down to. So, all right. So now I'm looking at a David, and I'm trying to think of who can make the fire. I think Pat can. I don't know if he's
not going to last that long.
Nick. Might. He might.
He's practicing.
I bet he practiced. Davey, but Nicole hates his social media. With all due respect, I don't know if Christian
social media
is
not on fire.
I don't know.
Come on, tick, tick, tick.
You know what?
TikTok, my man.
All right. Well, now you're putting the pressure on me. Let me see. I'll go with Combat Carl. Okay. Look. I'm always wrong anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to give up.
That's actually a pretty good pick.
I think he can make the fire.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. You know, does he know anything about the show? Look, he's a blue collar guy.
Does Hot Cop know anything about the show?
Yeah. All right. Give me the Carl.
Hot Carl.
All right. So there you go, Nicole. There it is, Carl.
All right.
Carl. Okay. So what else? Well, we need a hashtag.
We need a hashtag.
Yeah, what do you got?
Birding.
There you go. All right. Thank you guys so much for checking this all out. I know that we are late in the game. Hopefully you have a chance to listen to this. If you haven't checked out First One Out, check that out as well on robhasawebsite.com. You could also get it in the podcast feed. Of course, that's Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up on Thursday morning. Nicole, anything else?
I got nothing else.
All right. We will be back with more of... I will have a podcast. So I'll be getting back together with Akiva Winokur on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, talking about a... that is a podcast that I do with my co-host from the Seinfeld podcast, where we have a different podcast idea every single week based on the spin of a magical podcast wheel. Nicole, does that sound like that's up your alley?
No.
And then we will have our Sunday night Big Brother 20 coverage. Only two Big Brother 20 recaps. Also, Summer of Stein season finale was posted today with Eric Stein. So I am just working away down here in the basement, Nicole.
Yes.
At my house, I'm on the second floor. Here, I'm in the basement.
Wow.
Up is down. Down is up. David is Goliath. Goliath is David.
It's not.
Am I a David or a Goliath?
You're a Goliath.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Nicole. Okay. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye, guys. Hug your moms.